You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. Swati Martin is the founder and CEO of Iswara, a line of ethically grown African teas and accessories. Based in South Africa, the brand was launched in 2012 and is now carried in 30 top retailers across 17 countries, including as the first African foodstuff to be introduced to Harrods and Selfridges. Before launching her own luxury label, Swati spent a decade at General Electric in various roles helping to grow the company's portfolio across Africa. As a serial entrepreneur, author, and sought-after public speaker, she's also been praised for her leadership by everyone from Forbes to Oprah Winfrey. Here's Swati Martin now with the story of Iswara.
So Iswara is really, I would say, a manifesto in a way, more than a company, or in addition to being a company. What we're trying to do is contribute to the reversal of the African commodity trap. A lot of African raw materials and commodities are exported out of the African continent without being transformed locally. Africa is one of the major tea exporters. And if you look at the top 500 tea companies in the world, not one of them is African. What I was trying to do is take one of Africa's commodities that I know well, that I love, and that has a real opportunity globally in terms of growth of, you know, the category, so tea as a category, and create something that is world-class, conveys also African culture and shares a message, and fully made in Africa. So that's really, you know, I would say kind of the basis of the idea. And then on top of that, I was very passionate about creating a business model that would benefit everyone who's involved in making the product. And I would say that's really the DNA of our company. For everyone who lives in Africa, I would say it doesn't matter if you're African or not. There is something that's very profound. It's just the community care. Everyone takes care of someone when you live in Africa. And again, it doesn't matter if you're African or not. If you're African, you're probably taking care of people in your family, people in your village, I mean, just the broader community. And if you're an expat, it would be people working for you. So there is really that strong sense of community. If we talk about the luxury, you know, every place in the world which is an actor in the luxury sector has a specific identity. So French luxury is different from American luxury or Japanese luxury. My question was, what would African luxury look like? You know, of course, there are 54 countries and the continent is diverse, but I tried to find the commonality, and the commonality was the community care. And I developed this business model called Lux Ubuntu. Ubuntu meaning I am because we are. And again, it was how, if you deconstruct the value chain and the production chain, how at each point, each touch point, you actually make an impact in the community. It starts with the sourcing of the tea, for example. So most of the tea in Africa is sold a little bit less than a dollar, and you know, around a dollar, and is generally sold on auction. The tea that we buy the kilo between $80 and $120 the kilo, which makes a huge difference for the life of the farmer. It's a better quality tea. It's also better harvesting technique where you really have this relationship between the farmer and the product. In the end, you're actually able to make an impact. So that's just kind of the first, you know, if you start at the beginning. But at every point, I mean, there's much more that we do, but at every point, really the, I would say even the number one priority and focus for me was, how do I use this company, this venture, to make a difference in my community. Yeah, I mean, it's been extremely challenging, definitely. You know, I think I'm very fulfilled because I can see, you know, some of the changes definitely with my own employees. I would say the broader community, the inspiration, and just also coming with a different business model and having the confidence to say, well, we're operating differently where we're putting the human at the center. It's been very puzzling for people, for example, who were interested to invest in Iswara, but I didn't move my position. I don't compromise on that. And I've been very clear that I didn't want to go for a traditional model. I would rather invest money into creating a vegetable garden around our factory than actually putting money in marketing, for example. So, you know, some of those choices for, I would say, the business community just sound counterintuitive because there is this model of, you know, this is how a company runs, etc. I think I was fortunate that coming from a corporate career where I was very successful, working at GE, I used to run one of the divisions for Africa and, you know, grew it from $50 million to almost half a billion. You know, I had demonstrated that I understood that model. So, in creating my model, and you know, obviously, I think we've been successful at it so far. It's been challenging, but successful. Also, have not been thinking, okay, I've chosen this model because I don't know another model. But actually, I have the confidence to say, well, I've seen another model. I was working actually in one of the most capitalistic corporation. I loved it, but it was a very capitalistic model where definitely the human was not at the center, to create a new type of company where the human is at the center. The biggest learning for me, and that really, I would say, even shifted my relationship with my own company, was to move from what I call the title of the CEO to the Chief Zen Officer. When you operate, my company is based in South Africa. I'll give you just a few statistics. In South Africa is the eighth country in the world with the largest number of suicide. About one third of the population has mental illnesses, 40% of rape, 98% of physical and psychological abuse for women, and 60% of children are raised by single women. So the reason I'm giving you this statistics is that then when you operate a factory, the people in your factory represent microcosm of that. So these are the people in front of you. So again, in addition to that, you know, you have a historic, you know, traumatic past where people obviously have gone through hundreds of years of apartheid, you know, anyway, passed through generations. Although it has ended, there is all the trauma. So this is the population. These are your employees. If you care about the human, you know, you can't see humans, these humans, as numbers. You can't measure them by productivity, how many tins of tea they fill, how many hours they work. You actually have to reverse and start from where are they? And for me, what has been important is to use my workplace as a healing place. I feel that, you know, everywhere in the world, people work so much. They spend a lot of time at work. People are more depressed. People are just not better after work. And for me, what was important is when my employees come to work with everything that they carry at the end of the day, they actually feel better going home. And you were asking about some of the successes. I literally had staff who did not want to leave the company, would come on weekends. I literally sometimes had to call them to say, okay, now you need to go home. Because the office and the factory became a soothing place, a happy place. And I think there's not a lot of workplaces where people actually want to stay and are so happy there that they prefer that environment to their home. So for me, you know, if we're talking about success, this is how I measure my success. It is also how my employees have grown, you know, how closer to achieving their dreams. A traditional model, corporate model, would be that everyone needs to buy into the dream of the company, the culture of the company. At Iswara, it doesn't work like that. When I interview people, I ask them, what is your dream? I'm always asking them, how are we going to make sure that you get closer to your dream working for Iswara and not following Iswara's dream? Because I think at the end of the day, again, this Ubuntu I am because we are, I'm not only developing people for my company, but I'm developing people for the country or, you know, for the planet. You know, people don't have to stay in my company. And that's also another measure of success for me is, are they leaving the company to go do things that are better, bigger, etc.? of the things that's important is, you know, what is success for you? And I think based on that, it's important to understand what it takes. For me, I put a lot of value on balance, on doing other things that I'm passionate about and not, you know, being an entrepreneur is extremely difficult. It's going to take a lot of time. So you also have to be realistic how much you're willing to put in, how long it's going to take, and so on. So basically two things is one, what is success for you and what does success look like? And second, being realistic to what it's going to take to deliver on that success.
That's all the time we have on today's show. Thank you very much to Swati Martin, CEO and founder of Iswara, for taking the time to share her story. My thanks as well to Louis Harnett O'Mara for conducting the interview and to Kieran Matthew Banerjee for mixing and editing this show. I'm Daniel Bates. Thank you so much for listening and goodbye.